Dave Loza, the lead writer at the Bleacher Report, joins us again. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am outstanding.
That's better than good.
Yes, sure. The Tampa Bay Lightning have been a team that, you know what, the triplets line, whatever you call them, they've been great all year. Now that Steven Stamkos has really woken up here in the last seven or eight games, I think he's got seven goals in his last nine games. Like, they've got two legitimate scoring lines, and the Rangers just can't match that. Like, is Lundqvist good enough to beat them without the offensive support?
Boy, that's tough. He is, but it's one of those things where everyone focuses on a team with a great goalie. Like, Montreal has Carey Price. Tampa Bay destroyed him because the team in front of him wasn't playing very well. So yeah. A goalie is really only as good as the team in front of him. And right now, the team in front of him isn't really playing all that well. I mean, he was outstanding. He bounced back from that really bad game three and had an outstanding game four. But if the team in front of him is going to continuously let him face 40 shots a game, that didn't happen in game five. The Tampa team played really well in front of him. It was just that Tampa Bay played better. He's not going to be able to do it single-handedly. So, yeah, they have two scoring lines. It's also very weird, too, because that's all they have. I mean, their bottom six haven't done anything in about, boy, this whole series. Going back to game two, we're talking about, you know, 10 games here. So as long as the Rangers can just keep one of those two lines from doing anything, and they really shut down the Tyler Johnson line the last two games, they have a chance. But, yeah, they need to be better in front of Lundqvist. Lundqvist can't win these next two games 1-0.
What has happened to Ryan Callahan's offense?
He stores it in his appendix, so bad news there.
Like, he's got no goals in 17 games, three assists. He's getting paid big dollars. He was supposed to be an emotional leader. I understand that he plays hard and everything, but at some point you got to do more than just, you know, forecheck.
No, for sure. And I just think that he's kind of always been this guy. He's always been a solid sort of third-line guy that you can put into your top six for stretches, but he's not really a top-six guy, and now he's making top-six money. And when he was next to Steven Stamkos on that top line, it really wasn't working out with him and Killorn. So now you're looking at him playing a bottom-six role, and he's coming off of, you know, an appendectomy a couple of games ago, or about a week ago now at this point. And he's been better. He was pretty decent in game four, but, I mean, you don't really want pretty decent from a guy that's making about $6 million. So he's not a $6 million guy, but he's not as bad as he's been in this series. So I think if you're Tampa Bay Lightning, if you're looking for guys to step up here in a closeout game against a team that is really hard to close out, you want Ryan Callahan to score a goal. It can't just be some shot blocks. It just can't be him playing well along the boards. He needs to score. And if he's going to come through and finally get one, tonight probably needs to be the night.
Dave Lozo joins us. Their bottom two lines have done nothing. Do they play a significantly different style? Like, do they just do you notice, is it noticeable where John Cooper maybe has the reins off more in his top two lines, but his third and fourth line have a much different directions on how to play?
A little bit. I mean, they have some guys down there that I think have some skill. I mean, JT Brown, when I watch JT Brown play and he's skating with the puck, I'm like, this guy is a top six guy. And then he shoots the puck and I'm like, oh, he's a bottom six guy. They have a lot of guys like that down there. Like Brendan Morrow, I mean, he's not really, you know, anything like he was 5-6 years ago. Brian Boyle's been okay. I mean, their bottom six isn't really loaded with talent. They're loaded with solid sort of, you know, bottom six guys, but they don't have that. You know, every year in the playoffs, you always hear about how you need four lines. You know, we go back to Boston and that line with Sean Thornton on it. It wasn't great, but it was good enough, and they had a really good third line in front of it. Last year with the Rangers, when they went to the Cup Final, that Broussard, Zuccarello, Pouliot line was their best line, and it was their third line, and Tampa doesn't really have that. So I think maybe at some point it's going to come back to bite them. It might not be this series. Maybe it's against Anaheim or Chicago, but their bottom six is just okay, but their top two lines are so good that as long as their bottom six just controls possession and keeps the puck out of their own zone, they're able to get by on that.
It is very rare to see virtually no production from your bottom six forward group. Like, you know, you got your top six forwards, and then they got four or five defensemen producing, which is great. But it's usually, a lot of the times, the top lines will somewhat counter each other out, and then it's, you know, there's always some heroic third-line guy, you know, Talbot when Pittsburgh won, and, you know, you go down the list of different guys who emerge, and Tampa Bay just doesn't have that, and you wonder if that's a concern going into the West.
Right. I think it would be. I think if they played Anaheim, I think they'd really have a hard time keeping up because you know, they would throw that Getzloff line out there and that Kessler line out there against their top two lines, and I think that they would just get eaten alive. And then you have, I mean, Nate Thompson's line is fine. You know, like their bottom six is pretty good. So it's just one of those things where part of it's because Steven Stamkos is playing the wing and Valtteri Filppula is playing center. I think if all everything was working the way it should be, you could have Kalorn, you could have Stamkos and Callahan on the top line, and you put Valtteri Filppula on your third line, and that creates some matchup problems. But when Stamkos wasn't scoring and the bottom six wasn't doing anything, I think John Cooper said, my number one priority here is getting Steven Stamkos going because that's the only way we're going to win. So he bumps up Filppula during the Montreal series, and it's worked like a charm. So I think it's a good enough strategy to win in the East. I think they can beat the Rangers one time out of two in the next two games doing that. But if they go to the Cup Final and they have to go up against, you know, Getzloff and Kessler, and they have to go up against Taves and Richards and Vermette, that's going to cause, I think, some matchup issues. But for now, it's good enough to win now, and that's really all that matters, I guess, for Tampa.
Dave Lozo joins us. Dave, the game last night, outstanding game. The conference finals, to me, have been some of the best conference finals I can recall. A lot of times my interest will start to wane a little bit in this round. But Chicago-Anaheim, it's been electrifying. You know, overtime games after overtime games, long ones, short ones. And, of course, Tampa and the Rangers have had some electrifying ones. That game last night, though, just an excellent roller coaster ride if you're a fan watching.
I almost feel ripped off that the overtime only went like a minute, you know? Like, I'm so used to the Chicago Blackhawks playing double and triple OT games, I felt kind of ripped off that it only went like a minute and Matt Beleski scores on a rebound. But it was weird. Like, last night's game was unbelievably amazing. It was probably the third best game of the series based on just level of play because there was, I mean, Chicago gets back in it and it's exciting, and who cares how they get back in it for us? We're fans, we're not coaches, but to see the Frederik Andersen, you know, the last goal he gave up before overtime, I mean, geez, that's, I mean, and the first goal to Teräväinen. I mean, that game was kind of predicated on the goaltenders not really being on top of their game. While earlier in the series, there were great games where both guys were playing really well. But I selfishly, because I'm not at the game covering it, want them all to go four overtimes. My games need to end in 60 minutes. That's the only rule I have about covering hockey.
That's the only one, Dave?
Well, I mean, it's the only one I really care about.
Okay.
So I'm in the building. When I'm in the building and I want to get out of there, I'm like, look, I don't care who wins, 60 minutes, but I'm home on my couch, five overtimes, play all night.
Yeah. I can totally understand that, sure, on a selfish standpoint.
I'm very selfish.
I totally get that. Speaking of NHL, of course, a lot of people wonder about the St. Louis Blues. Give me your thoughts on a one-year contract, which is rare for their head coach.
I mean, they may as well just fire him. I don't understand the point of it. And the I saw a comment based on, I think it was Jeremy Rutherford was interviewing both guys, Armstrong and Hitchcock. And Armstrong said it's like a marriage, and Hitchcock said it's not a good one. So I don't know what's going on there where it's just one of those, it's almost like Todd McClellan where regular season success has been there the whole entire time, but in the playoffs, the team just shuts down. And you don't want to just say, well, it's Ken Hitchcock. I mean, some of it's David Backes, some of it's TJ Oshie, but I mean, I think you have to try something new, and especially with the way the market is for coaches here in the offseason, there's a lot of good ones out there. That you, I mean, Dan Bylsma is still floating around out there, and maybe he's not the answer, but I think it's like Marc-Andre Fleury and Net in Pittsburgh, where I don't know if there's somebody better than him available, but I do believe that we've learned that he's not the answer there, so why not try something different? That's kind of how I feel about Ken Hitchcock. He's a good coach. A lot of teams want to have him as their coach, but I don't know how many more times they need to lose in the first two rounds of the playoffs with a really good team before they just try something else.
It's a valid point because St. Louis, and it's not because I picked them in the West, although I'm a little bit bitter still, them
yeah,
and the Sharks for many years. But you would, at some point, you know, the players, they just, you know, I don't know if they don't have the right group who knows how to turn it up, and maybe they play that hard-ass style all year, and then in the playoffs when everybody ratchets it up, they've got nothing else left.
And when you see Ben Bishop in the conference finals and you see Yaroslav Halak playing really well for the Islanders and you have Jake Allen and Brian Elliott who can't get it done, I mean, that's not Ken Hitchcock's fault. That's management's fault. So if goaltending is the issue and the only issue they have there, but it's not, you look to the GM. But I just – you see Vladimir Tarasenko just, I mean, single-handedly carrying that team. All they need is just a little something else there. And you just go back and you look at all their little tiny moves like keeping Steve Ott instead of Vlad Sobotka and – moves like that. I mean, their defense is so good. They brought in McCulloch at the trade deadline. They really were in a place where I thought they can make a very deep run this year. Other years, you say, oh, well, they ran into Chicago. They ran into L.A. They ran into Devin Dubnyk this year. So I think at some point you have to just try something else because what you have there is not getting it done.
For fun, Matt Bolesky, who, because he's going to join the group of most overpaid guys in NHL. I don't blame him, but it'll happen. Yeah. Which team do you think is signing the Bolesky overpayment contract this summer?
Oh, well, I'm thinking it's going to be like a Brian Bickell type deal, where it's probably going to be like 4 and 19 or 4 and 18. And which teams could fit him? I'll give you two yeses. I'll throw out the Capitals, and I'll throw out that team in Edmonton you have there, because they seem to like to overpay those guys sometimes.
Ooh, Oilers overpaying a winger? What?
Come on.
Hey, well, you know what? They struck out and missed and are very happy about it on David Clarkson. I think maybe.
Yeah.
I know it's a new management, but I would be floored if it's the Edmonton Oilers. I could see them grossly overpaying a defenseman, but not a winger.
You never know, though. I mean, it's good, though. It's good. Sometimes going for it and missing is the best thing ever. You look at the Islanders, they went for Thomas Vanek, didn't get him. They went for Dan Boyle and didn't get him. And that kind of worked out for Garth Snow this year.
Oh, very true. You're right. Yeah. Well, like I said, if they want to swing and miss again, I think Oilers fans will be fine, as long as they're missing, not actually making contact. Dave,
I love how low the expectations have gotten there.
Hey, enjoy the game, and hopefully no OT if you're in the building.
I'm not in the building, so let's play 6 overtimes tonight.
Oh, 6. Let's set a record. And it's good for us, because that game only starts at 6 o'clock our time, so I'd still be in bed at midnight. Perfect.
Good for you, boys. All right, good talking to you.
Have a good one. Dave Lozo from the Bleacher Report.